My name is Ashley, and this is Let's Talk Dispatch.
I do. You're gonna do it. Do it really well.
And I believe the world needs more dispatchers.
Around in the mud, blood, and beer.
Years that I'm not working 4th of July.
Hey, community policing, right? What about community dispatching?
So on this show, with the help of my guests, we will educate, empower, and support the heroes behind the headset. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode here on Let's Talk Dispatch with me, Ashley, the raspy dispatcher. Every time I play this intro, I'm literally telling myself I really need to update that. The hair is much shorter than it was then. So I promise I'll get to that soon. Today, I'm super excited for this episode. We're going to be chatting with a rock star who works with our partners at Prepared, Sandra, with over 30 years of experience in public safety and the public. And then moving into the private sector with Prepared, we're going to talk about their journey and some of the awesome tech and features they got going on at Prepared. Hey, Sandra.
Hey, Ashley.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How are you?
I am well. It's my weekend, air quote, so that's always a good time for me.
Good.
But you understand. You've done shift work, you know.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into public safety.
I come into public safety in the very early 90s. That's 1990s. I started in EMS. I was familiar with someone who was working in EMS and thought that I would go to EMT school and then got a job when I found myself needing one as an EMT, and then went on to paramedic school and so forth. But did that for about 5 years, got burnout. I did what a lot of people on the truck do. You know, sometimes you'll work two jobs and eat up a lot of your week. Got, like I said, pretty burnout, went on into the dispatch center. Definitely felt like I'd went into mission control. Was very competent and felt really good about my role in EMS. So when I walked into the dispatch center, it was very overwhelming for me. I spent probably go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no. I was just going to say that it's always interesting how you think those two things would intersect more, you know, but they're so different, right?
Oh, yeah. I think sometimes it's easier just to do it than to tell someone how to do it for like your pre-arrival instructions. I always struggled with that a lot in the very beginning, you know, having to tell someone instead of just doing it yourself was very challenging for me.
So you got into the center, and what did that look like for you?
It was not a natural fit for me. I struggled. The multitasking was challenging to say the least. And it was quite of a blow to the ego coming from a place where I was very confident and walking into that dispatch room and then with all the radios and computer screens. And that was even back then. You can imagine what it looks like to a new person now walking into the room. But even back in the day, it was really, really just overwhelming. And that's just the equipment operation. That's not to think about the other challenges that come with the job.
For sure. And what are some things that you found helpful in that transition that worked for you?
I believe it takes a lot of resiliency to get through it. There were some great mentors that I had along the way, but it was really just emulating the behavior of the ones that I respected, or I felt that was doing a really good job. Not that I necessarily knew at the time what that was, but the ones that I felt that did a good job. So a lot of it was just imitation of those who had come before me that seemed to know what they were doing.
It's so true. I just was talking to some people in my comment section about how people really do make your center, right? A lot of folks have the experience in dispatch where it's not a It's toxic. There's a toxic work environment with the being a trainee and, you know, going through that experience, which we're hoping is going away more than it is a reality these days. But it does happen. And having people to emulate in your training and feeling like you're being supported through this tough process is so important in our centers.
I agree. I find that if I'm teaching a CTO class or even talking to a group of trainers, you know, it can become very frustrating for the trainers, especially right now when the turnover rate is so high and they are like in a 2-year constant training cycle, especially if they're training on the floor. A lot of times they're probably pretty exhausted from training. And sometimes that frustration leads right down to the trainee. A lot of trainees feel like they've been bullied along their journey, to say the least. And I can't say that I felt any different back in the day, but it's interesting to hear their stories. It passes for the most part, I believe. I think sometimes it's just a rite of passage that it has almost become accepted, unfortunately. And when some of this stops, they'll realize we need the help, right? We need the people in the seats so we can all have a vacation day. So why run them off with being difficult at work?
Exactly. We all love time off. Let me tell you. Yeah. So anyone who's going to come into the center and make me be able to submit a time off request or get my regular days off, I applaud them. I welcome them 1,000%. But one thing you mentioned is the CTOs and the burnout that happens there. And I think for supervisors, this is something to really remember and be aware of, especially in our centers where we're shorthanded, because a lot of times we're like, you train them, so we can get folks onto the floor. But those CTOs, man, they get burnt out. Like, the job's hard enough, and then teaching someone how to do the job, being liable for their mistakes, 12 hours, you know, 4 or 5 days a week, that's tough. So really being aware of that as a supervisor and working in breaks where that person can just focus on doing their job for a day rather than having a trainee, I think goes a long way.
Yes. Yeah, I do think that sometimes the pressure that the CTOs are under right now with the high turnover is often overlooked, but it's real, and it's some handle it better than others.
Very true. Do you remember any of your early calls for service or early shifts making that transition into the dispatch center? Before we continue, we wanted to take a moment to thank our partners at Prepared. You can learn more about the awesome support and technology Prepared provides to first responders by heading to prepared911.com. Partners like Prepared help to continue our mission of supporting, empowering, and educating the heroes under the headset. You can learn more about our resources and partnerships by heading to theraspydispatcher.com. Now let's get back to the show.
One of the first calls that I took, and I'm sure it wasn't the first call, but one of the first ones that I took, was a vehicle that was struck by a train. Oh, wow. And it was right just inside our city limits, and it was hit by a train, but that wasn't what really stood out to me. Mm-hmm. There were trains that were both coming opposite direction. So not only did one train hit his vehicle, spun him into the other tracks where he was hit by a second train and walked away from it. So and I think that's why I'm like, the guy needs to buy a lottery ticket on his way home.
Yes. Like, and like have the ambulance stop.
And walked away. Yep.
That was
pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's, I would have asked my ambulance driver, like, just pull up here. We need to get some numbers on this real quick. Yeah. Because that's insane.
That's one of my first ones, because I thought, okay, what? He's been hit by not one, but two trains that he really had. And like I said, he walked away from it fine. So that kind of stuck with me as one of those early calls. You know, they get darker, those calls that stick with you and so forth. But I just remember that was one of those in that first 2 or 3 months that just, it's one of those crazy calls to me.
Yeah, that is great. And, you know, it just kind of reminds you, and for folks who aren't in this line of work and aren't hearing crazy stuff come through their telephones every day, it's just like how often the thing you think would never happen happens more often than the public is aware of, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've seen on the news today in Baltimore, a ship ran into the bridge and the bridge collapsed. And I know for the dispatchers, shout out to them. That was like it was a rough morning for everyone in Baltimore. And it's just one of those things, like when you see it come across your screen, you think, oh, I just never thought that would have happened. And the dispatchers and the first responders have to respond to this thing that they probably have never worked before and hopefully won't ever work again for, you know, 50 years. But it's one call and your whole day has just changed completely.
And you really never know what it's going to be. That's what I love about it. You know, I would teach a class about boats and they're like, well, we don't have a lake in our area, so that's really not relevant to us. But I'm like, you've got boats going through your area. Mm-hmm. It's like not worrying about a plane crash because you don't have a major airport. That doesn't mean you may not be hosting a plane crash, you know. So I just think that dispatchers are so resourceful because, just like you said, that may be that one in every 300 incidents that they have to deal with, or they may never deal with it again. So
It's definitely the fun part of the job. I heard another 911 call where the caller was like, yeah, a pilot's in our backyard. And you're sitting there like, what? A pilot's in your backyard? They're like, yeah, they jumped out the plane and landed in our backyard because they had to, you know, ditch the plane for whatever reason. But those things are like what dropped in your ear. And like your 911 call, for example, it's like, he's hit by a train. No, he's hit by two trains. Like, what?
But, you know, and as I look back on it, though, what a fabulous opportunity it is, not only for the ones who have got to do that for so many years, but for those up and coming newer dispatchers in the seat, that it really is an opportunity that they have to be with someone when they are having a caller in crisis. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people want to be the hero, and dispatch gets to do that every single day, to be that person in that moment of crisis, and nobody else can help them except them. And I just think it's a wonderful opportunity that we got to sit in that seat, that the newer ones coming up are still sitting in that seat, taking those challenges that most people would take a week to try and figure out how to respond to, and they just do it on the fly every day. So just keep it up. I appreciate everything that they're doing out there.
Awesome. Well, you had an amazing career in public safety. You were in the field to start, which, props to you. I'm one of the people who doesn't want to see or smell it. So, you know, like, that is a tough job in itself. And then you've transitioned into the private sector. What was that like? And, you know, tell us a little bit about Prepared as well.
Thank you. It was actually very easy for me. I had a great team around me, really just a phenomenal group of people when I left being in public safety. But it is challenging. I have a lot of my colleagues that are approaching retirement age or where they are leaving public safety in one aspect of another, whether that be in dispatch or in the law enforcement or fire service side, where they're actually coming out of public safety into the private sector. And I see a lot struggle with it, especially because they were really at the top of their careers when they left, for the most part. You know, they have reached as far as that they felt that they needed to go. And then to go and really kind of just start over with new jargon and social intelligence skills that needs to be used. And just even looking for a job, if you've not looked for a job or interviewed in 20 years, how challenging can that be? I mean, really. So there is a heck of a learning curve that gets to happen for some of these folks as they transition. But wow, what, and I do get to say this because I feel good about this, but I bring a set of skills with me that that you kind of almost have to just be on that public safety team to understand. So I get to do that. So that's fabulous.
It's wonderful. And you're right. I mean, for folks who are in dispatch right now and are for whatever reason, whether they're hitting that retirement age or they're not feeling it anymore, you know, maybe they're burnt out, you know, all of those are realities and they're looking for a pivot. There are so many opportunities that our skill set brings to us. There is a whole private sector that exists that are looking for folks with our experience, with our skills that really do translate to other careers and jobs. And I know for folks who don't, who aren't in that job searching mentality right now are just like, what are you talking about, Ashley? I'm a 911 dispatcher. How does that translate out into the world of normalcy, right? But we do have all these skills. We have de-escalation, abilities to multitask, prioritization, you know, all of these things do translate into the private sector, into other careers. And if you are at a stage in your life where you're looking to pivot, explore those options and really dive into the things that you love about the job you're currently doing and try to find a job that can offer that, you know, outside of dispatch.
So I've got to ask, okay?
Yeah.
You have your podcast, Let's Talk Dispatch. How was you able to bridge that gap from being inside the room to a podcast? Tell us how that happened.
Yeah, you know, I really, personally, I enjoy podcasts. I love listening to podcasts in my spare time. And as I was doing all this raspy dispatcher stuff and making videos, one day I was just like, you know, I want to actually talk to people about this job, their experiences. You know, when I started the Raspy Dispatcher, it was very early in my career. I mean, I'm only going into year six now. So my scope of practice was short, small back then. So I definitely, as it grew, I wanted to talk to people who had a bigger scope and had more experience and had more information than I had to give it out to the world. And also, you know, I get to absorb it. And so I am decent with the tech stuff and kind of fell into the podcast aspect of it and let them all come together. And here we are now, a year and a half so later.
Well, you've been doing great. So thank you very much for all that you're doing for our public safety community.
Oh, I really do appreciate that. It really is a lot of fun. And like I said, I get to talk to you folks first before anyone else gets to hear. So it's like a class session for me every time. I get to learn so much. It's really a blast.
Well, thank you for what you're doing. No kidding. I mean, and all recordings aside, you can edit it out, but thank you for doing that because, you know, it is a very niche community overlooked for many, many years. I know there's more podcasts and so forth coming and stuff, but when you compare them to the number of just random podcasts out there, it's still a very slim number. So thank you.
Heck yeah. No, totally. It is a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying it. And I get to talk to folks like you and I get to talk about companies like Prepared and how did you find Prepared and what was that introduction process like for you?
Prepared actually found me. It's just one of those blessings that happen. And that's the way I look at it as a blessing that I got to be a part of this company. And for those who don't know, it is just a group of innovators. Mm. Absolutely astonishing to what this group of engineers and just a phenomenal world-class team. It really is. I'm honored to be a part, actually to be considered on staff there. It's that fabulous. But Prepared is it's an assistive technology system for public safety amongst other things. But we realize that dispatch centers are short-staffed. We've already talked about that, right? You got the high turnover rate with the CTOs that are exhausted. You've got all of that. Yeah. You've got so much information being thrown at you. And this is for somebody, just think about what's rolling off of an NCIC screen or how much information is coming in from a text to 911 or a translator. You got all of these different pieces of information that is coming in that you feel, you know, that there is a, you got to catch it all. You know, what if I miss something? What happens then? And prepared is helping public safety do more with less. They know that there's a staffing issue. They know that dispatch has to process so much more information. And we want to be that platform that helps you do that. Now, of course, we're kind of in the forefront when it comes to the live stream capability. You know, that's one of the things that we were known for in the very beginning, but it is, it's so much more than that. It's AI, it's location intelligence. There's just so many pieces in transcription and translation that's on the platform, and it grows in such a way that I think these young people to our industry, like myself, I would probably been a little confined by convention of what I thought things should look like within the dispatch center. And this group is not like that. They are huge thinkers, and they really do try to find the problems that lie within public safety and address those. So fabulous, fabulous group to work with. I think that if you talk to anybody that we're already in partnership with, they'll tell you that you do not beat air commitment to our clients and our service. I'm just saying, you'll usually get us on vacation for the most part, but that's what a lot of people actually really, they appreciate that we're, that we have a lifelong commitment to the communities that we're serving in public safety, and that we're just going to try and make dispatch life better.
Yeah. You know, and I think historically sometimes there is a disconnect between these companies that are bringing these services to our centers, because what you want to work doesn't necessarily translate to being able to work in the realities of our job. But all the stuff that I've seen from Prepared, that I've got to witness, the demos I've got to experience, there seems to be there, that gap is very non-existent. Like, there's definitely a communication between the centers and the folks who are making the software that it translates so well. You know, one of the demos that I saw when I was at Calnina, because we were booth mates essentially, was the description getting, the suspect description getting pulled out of the translation or the transcription text and being put at the top, you know. And I thought, such a simple thing that for someone who isn't in dispatch might not think is important, but having that description so accessible during a hot call really helps the dispatcher, because I've had instances where I'm working a call, I'm getting multiple descriptions, the officers are responding, I've given it out on the air, it's been a couple minutes, and now they're on scene and they want it again. And it's like, oh, I don't have it anymore. I have to go look in my call to get it. And all of that's time consuming, you know. We don't want the suspect running by them as we're trying to get the description out. So just even that one aspect of that software is so helpful for dispatch.
And it's fabulous. Even the transcription piece, where these analytics come from, you know, I'm a visual person, you know. That's my learning style. That's how I process things. The fact that you can see transcription of every word that's being said come across the screen. So not only am I hearing it, but I'm able to see it. It's like, to be able to pick out noisy words out of a noisy crowd, those type of things that you would normally be trying to be listened to on the side of the highway, those type of things. It's really is fabulous. And to your point where you're talking about the insights and the descriptions and so forth, even the fact that it can determine if there has been violence detected or a weapon detected. If somebody said gun, hammer, whatever the case may be, and it would make an alert to the dispatcher that they have said, you know, something to do with the weapon. It's huge. It does help the dispatchers just process that information just so much quicker. And, and it does, like you said, it has it right there at their fingertips so that they can access it quicker.
And you guys have recently come out with Prepared Assist. And I think the name is amazing, because I think that a lot of people, when they hear about like AI and this type of technology coming out into our centers, is that it's replacing, or it is making our dispatcher's ability to do the job less, you know, making us less skilled. Where for me, I believe it's making the job easier. You know, like you said, you're a visual person. If I don't have to just strain, I can confirm with the visual portion of it, it's making our jobs easier. And that's what I really enjoy about this technology, is that it's an assistive technology. It's not replacing, it's not, you know, doing the job for me. It's making my job easier, because the job's tough enough.
Yeah, there is no replacement for a dispatcher. And truthfully, I believe that. I like to compare it. If anyone has been up to the Taco Bell kiosk and tried to order lately, just saying, you're not going to replace a dispatcher with anything strictly AI. But it's there to assist you and just to help you process things, because the calls are not stopping. They're actually increasing. So if our numbers are going down, we've either got to get them up. And even if we do, we're still only going to keep pace with the number of calls that are increasing. So I think that the assistive part is fabulous, of course.
Well, what would you say? Because dispatch, historically, we don't like change. Change is bad. You know, we don't like that, especially when it comes to our technology, you know, having new logins and, you know, all of this stuff. What would you say to the dispatchers who are listening and going, Ashley, Sandra, I'm not having another tech. I'm not doing another login. I don't want to learn a new system. What would you say to those folks who are hesitant with new tech in the centers?
Well, you're natural. It's completely natural. Nobody likes change. Nobody likes tech change, especially. We try to offset some of that. Like if you have Rapid SOS, we can do an integration so you don't have to learn another password, those type of things. So there's some things that we do on our end to try and offset some of the pain of change, because it is painful, myself included. I may be working with a particular program that's new to me, and it's, you know, it's change, and I compare it to a CAD. Okay. I always say everybody wants a new CAD till they get the new CAD. Then they're having to learn the new CAD and they hate it. And that's because, you know, they are. It's change. They, even if the old one may have not have performed the way they wanted, at least they was used to it. They could function okay on it. So as they're going through this painful change and their neural synapses connections are happening in their brain and they're developing this new habit, my advice is stick with something at least 6 weeks. Stick with, make yourself try something continuously, you know, every day. For a little while, for 6 weeks, and see how it works for you. And because that's why so many New Year's, and to get off on a tangent here, but that's why a lot of New Year's resolutions don't work, is simply because they didn't get the time in it before they fell off. If you can go 6 weeks, usually you'll have developed a new habit. So that's what I encourage anyone who is making any kind of change at work, or even if you bought a new phone or whatever, you know, how even just getting the new cell phone for the first week is impossible as you're trying to load everything back on it and so forth. Just give yourself about 6 weeks of good solid use and practice and toying around, and really just go through that period of being uncomfortable until everything clicks, and it will.
Awesome. Well, I know there's so many features, so much tech that you folks offer, but what is something that you find exceptionally cool, helpful, exciting that you guys are offering at Prepared?
Mine is probably the most boring piece to most people. The live streaming is great because, like I said, I'm a visual person. To be able to see what is actually happening on scene is paramount to me. Yes, you can blur it. You don't have to see anything. But if you think about it from an evidentiary standpoint, how much stuff is being captured that get come back and be used at a later point if it's needed, you know, that information that would always be lost. That's huge. I love the location pieces with the breadcrumb technology, love all of that piece as well, but I just love a good canned message or even a workflow. Now I'll tell you about the two. A canned message, it's standard on our starter platform. Most people already have it. you can just send out a pre-typed out text message to anyone you want to. You don't have to type the same thing over 5 or 6 times. You can refer them to websites. You can have them make their anonymous tips just by sending a message out. It's fabulous. Another thing we have is workflows. And that's if, let's say, that there is a situation that a supervisor would need to be made aware of, it would notify them. So let's say that you wanted something set up where maybe if the word domestic is used, that it automatically notifies the supervisor. There's some good things we can do there as far as some doing some real-time Q&A and those pieces. But to actually, the supervisors can tell, okay, Sarah may have had 6 child-related incidents this week. How good would that be for that supervisor to be able to know Sarah may be having a bad week? You know, there's some of those analytical pieces that we're working on that really adds to the bigger picture. So I'm excited about a lot of that work.
Yeah, you know, I don't think I really ever thought about that, the buildup aspect of that. You know, I think we're all aware of the calls for that day, you know, because we're all there working with each other. But being able to visually see the week, you know, I think that's so valuable for a supervisor, because I think for us who are still, you know, dispatching and whatnot, you're kind of taught and you teach yourself to protect yourself and to keep going. And, you know, and sometimes we don't even realize when our backpacks are starting to get real full, you know, so having that aspect and that piece that, tells on us essentially, you know, because we always have a hard time asking for help or acknowledging that we're a little burnt out and we had a rough week of calls. So that's such an awesome component that I didn't even realize until you just explained it to me. So that's so cool.
Yep. There's always a bigger piece, and the more right information is power, and the more that you can gather and have those insights and the analytical pieces and stuff, just to paint a bigger picture of what's happening in the center, it's just going to make it function or be just more operationally efficient, I guess. Mm-hmm. It'd be a sad word, but yeah.
No, it's great. And I think, you know, we always talk about, you know, the dispatchers and the folks in the seats, and but supervisors get burnt out too, and they need help, and they need tools, and they need systems to make their jobs easier as well. And I think that's a great piece that you, that Preparent's not missing, right? That we're not overlooking. Yeah. You know, how can we make the top's job easier to help the bottom as well, you know?
As a matter of fact, it was several months ago, but I put a LinkedIn post on there just talking a little bit about the resignation of a lot of administrators right now, or dispatch directors, just because they're getting it from the top down. Why don't we have more people? Why are we having to pay so much overtime? You know, they're taking all of that from their councils and commissions and so forth from the top down. And then they're getting everything from the bottom up, from the disgruntled dispatchers, the overworked, why we still, you know, we can't get any coverage. We can't get a day off. You know, sometimes the director itself is having to go in and pull several shifts. So they're walking away. The directors are walking away at a rate that I had not seen before in my 30 years. So it's a tough profession right now, but it's rewarding as it is challenging.
Yeah, I did. I had a sergeant who was talking to us, and he was like, you know, a sergeant job is so interesting, because you do that. He's talking about that. Unhealthy cookie method is like, you take it from the bottom, you know, you're hearing, you're trying to help your people, you get it from the top, and it's just finding a way to make everyone happy. And that's tiring, and that's tiresome. And, you know, we got to remember our supervisors too, the same way they need to remember their people. We got to think of them as well.
Yeah.
So how do folks find Preparent? How do they hook up with you folks to get a demo, to learn more? What does that process look like?
Of course, you can reach out to us on our website. It's prepared911.com. I'm sure that they could reach out to you. You could also share with them if they need to get a hold of us. My name is Sandra Wesley. My title actually here is ECC Education Manager. but we can make sure to get you in touch with any of the regional sales folks, or if anyone is having already a customer is having any issues, has any great ideas, feel free to reach out to any of your customer success managers, and look forward to hearing from everyone.
Awesome. Well, of course, we'll be putting out more clips and more information about Prepared as it comes out. We did just do a webinar on AI that you folks can tune into by heading to prepared911.com. There's that webinar. There's a bunch of other webinars. So Prepared is really dedicated to educating and having the conversations around software and topics in 911 as well. The cool thing about the webinars is they are on demand, so they are live, but if you can't make it because you're sleeping on graveyard like me or on shift, you can always head to that website and watch those webinars at any time. So definitely check out the one we just did, which is AI in 911, as well as all the other awesome webinars that they have on the site. So Sandra, as we wrap it up, the one thing that I ask all of my guests is, what is some advice you would give someone considering a career in dispatch?
If you're considering a career in dispatch, like I've said several times, it is as rewarding as it is challenging. I know we hear a lot of the negative pieces and all of the challenges going on within really just across public safety right now and criminal justice, but it really is a rewarding, and it's been a fabulous career for me personally. It has not been without its challenges, that I'll promise you. But if you go at it with a heart of a servant, and in with a mindset of resiliency, that you want to be there to serve and to help and take those opportunities to be the hero, that's fabulous. And if you can just pause for a minute and know that you have to unwind and take a breath every now and then too, I think you'll have a fabulous career.
Awesome. Well, Sandra, thank you so much for jumping on with me and telling us about your awesome career and the awesome work you're doing with Prepared. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you, Ashley.
Awesome. I'll be right back with you.
All right.
All right, everybody. That was another awesome episode here on Let's Talk Dispatch. Prepared, as you know, is one of our partners, and I can't say enough how much I enjoy learning more and more about the software and the tech that they're putting out there for the dispatch community. Like I said, that gap with companies and not understanding exactly how the workflow happens in a dispatch center exists. In my experience with Prepared, it's very non-existent. They get it. They understand our staffing woes. They get how the technology needs to be assistive and not more challenging. And it's just awesome to learn about. So head to prepared911.com to set up a demo with them. Or like I said, check out the awesome webinars that they have so you can learn more about all the awesome tech they got going on. Until next time, everybody, stay raspy. Thank you for listening to Let's Talk Dispatch podcast. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you're interested in becoming a guest on the show, or maybe even submitting your own story, you can do all that and more at theraspydispatcher.com. Until next time, stay raspy.